are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us to get into our deep dive for today, and we're still talking about developing spiritual discipline, all right? And so today we're focusing on starving the flesh. Pastor Masia Sani will be joining us for this conversation. Now, fasting is not just about skipping meals, okay? It's about feeding the spirit while starving the flesh. That's a very important distinction between that and just going hungry for the sake of going hungry. It teaches us discipline, it sharpens our focus, and it shifts our dependence from worldly pleasures to God's sufficiency, all right? But let's be honest, fasting is not easy. I don't know if you've tried it. It's not easy to do. The hunger pangs hit, the cravings attack, and suddenly that discipline feels impossible. And yet, those who fast with the right mindset experience breakthroughs. So what makes fasting such a powerful tool in resisting temptation? This will be the subject of our focus this morning as we speak about developing spiritual discipline. Our pastor joins us on the line now. Good morning, my pastor.
Good morning. Thank you. And how are you?
Doing very well. Pastor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, Pastor, let's talk about fasting. Why does it help, or how does it help in strengthening our spiritual discipline?
All right. That's a beautiful question concerning fasting. Mm-hmm. And allow me to share something concerning fasting. Okay. Let me just get my Bible. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So I want to put across concerning fasting is that it's one of those big spiritual disciplines that we need to have in order for us to be able to live a faithful Christian life and to be able to fight various temptations or battles that we get to face. Mm-hmm. Now, we as Christians, we are in a spiritual warfare, and the reality is that every believer is in a battle, and the forces of darkness are seeking to weaken our faith and trying to separate us from our God. Now, when it comes to fasting, you realize that fasting is a powerful weapon that God has given to us. Mm-hmm. And this fasting is not just a merely abstaining of food, okay? Right. But it is a deliberate act of drawing closer to God and humbling ourselves and seeking divine intervention.
Powerful.
Yeah, so I thought I could give that particular background, because yes, a number of people will talk about fasting, and what comes in the mind is to say, okay, so are we going to do dry fasting? Are we allowed to take fruits? Right. Are we allowed to take water?
Yeah.
Well, fasting is not God. Let me say this. Fasting is not about having an empty stomach so that God can answer your prayer.
Hey.
God does not answer our prayer because our stomachs are empty.
Right.
But it is because we have a living connection with God. Mm. And when you look at deeper in terms of fasting, it is not just a mere absence of food, but we are going to do everything that may distract our attention. We are to do our, even when it is good in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like food, for example, there is no sin in eating.
Right.
But when it has a potential at that given moment that it can swerve us or make us not achieve something at that particular time,
mm-hmm,
it is good that we sacrifice ourselves not to allow that to come in between us and our God.
Right, right. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, how can fasting teach us to rely on God rather than our own desires?
Well, a good example is given to us in the Bible, and that is Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 11. We find the temptation that comes to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And notice what the Bible says. It says, when Christ had just ended his fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, not just a day, but 40 days and 40 nights, then temptation comes. But because Christ had that dependence on his God, he was able to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not in the same Bible that we find in the book of Mark chapter 9, where the disciples are trying to cast out the demon, not from an adult, but a boy. And when you follow that particular passage, Mark chapter 9, verse 18, the Bible says, and when they saw Jesus coming, the people ran to him and they said to him that your disciples have failed to cast out the demon. What an embarrassment it was. These, when you talk about the disciples, you're talking about pastors. You're not talking about an ordinary church member.
Yeah.
And in the few view of people, the report that is given to Jesus to say, they have failed. And Christ then addresses the issue. He cast out the demon. And then the disciples want to know, why did we not get it right? Then he says, this kind cannot come out except through prayer and fasting.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's powerful. So how does it actually work to help us to rely on God? What does it do? What does that fasting do that teaches us to rely on God?
Wow, that's more profound. Number one, fasting teaches us to be dependent on God. You see, when you embark on the journey of fasting, maybe may I bring these particular things. Things that you is that there are people that cannot do away. Sorry, I think I have a network challenge.
No, it's fine. We can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. So there are people that cannot do away with social media. They ever have to have their phones and so forth.
Yeah.
And you notice that when these things are taken away from them, people begin to feel like they are sick, like something has just been lost in their lives. I can't see my phone, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Now, when we get into the place of fasting, we first of all get to spend time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a time of revelation where God is speaking to us.
Mm.
Look at Jesus. He is in the wilderness. He is having a discussion with God. He's spending time with God. And there lies the strength that the more you hang around at the feet of the Master, the more we get to be empowered.
Amen.
You cannot expect power when you don't hang around with Jesus or with God.
Sure.
Okay? And so there is an issue of learning to be dependent on God.
Mm.
Think of this. You deny yourself breakfast, lunch.
Mm.
Then hunger kicks in and you see good food.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage? So you get to a point that you feel like, maybe I can do it tomorrow. But that kind of a thing said, God, please help me.
Yeah.
And God comes through, okay?
Yeah.
In fasting, you also get to learn. You see, when you overcome those physical things, it gives you strength that now as you engage in a spiritual warfare, you get to say, okay, if I can manage this, Lord God, can you even help me to overcome this particular temptation?
Yes.
We are also seeking the issue of God's guidance.
Yeah.
We don't guide ourselves, but God gives us the guidance. And for your own information, God even has got fasting that he approves and fasting that he doesn't approve.
Okay. That's interesting. Please speak to us a little bit more about that.
Well, so, you know, sometimes when we fast, people fast thinking that they can manipulate God.
Yes.
Okay. God cannot be manipulated. He knows us in and out. In the book of Isaiah, there's a very beautiful passage that is given to us. Isaiah 58, verse 3 to verse 7. People have fasted before. They feel like God has not heard their prayer.
Right.
And now, what we get to see is that these particular people, they say, look, we have fasted, but why? How come you have not heard our prayer? Then God says, the kind of fasting you do, when you fast, you still are able to inflict pain on innocent people. This is the kind of fasting that I've chosen for you.
Hey.
So that is actually not fasting, but you are simply starving yourself.
Mm.
If at the end of the day you fast, and you still have got vulgar language, you still are abusive, then there's a problem. The first thing probably you need to fast about is, God help me to overcome this battle.
Then what you see in the particular passage mm-hmm. is that then he tells them, go and feed the hungry. Now, you see, back in the, I must make a confession, whenever I would fast, at the end of the fast, I would have a stomach upset. You may ask why. You know what I used to do?
What?
I would say, since I did not eat my breakfast, I did not eat my lunch, I did not eat my supper.
I know where you're going. Hello, Pastor? Sorry,
Hello?
Pastor, we got cut off for a second there. You said, since you had not eaten your three meals for the day.
Yes, then I would make sure that I eat all the three meals that I've missed. Then when I read Isaiah, it gave me a new insight, because I realized then that God actually says, if at all you fast, the food you are supposed to eat, you must give it to the hungry.
Hey.
If it is possible, you don't need to go back to that.
And catch up. Yo.
So when it comes to the issue of fasting, we must be able to appreciate social justice. Mm-hmm. Let us see. Take care of the underprivileged.
Yes.
Then we have the right concept of what fasting was all about. Otherwise, if we do any other, we are just merely starving ourselves.
Just starving ourselves. Yeah, that's beautiful. No, as for your point about the fact that we can't use fasting to manipulate God. In fact, you cannot manipulate God. I can tell you that I was guilty of that, of thinking that, no, because I went mm-hmm. hungry today, then God has to give me what I asked for. That's the exchange. I go hungry and you give me what I want. So it took took a lot of unlearning to come to realize that, no, that's not what fasting is about. It's not about twisting God's arm and forcing him to do what I want. Oh, we're having some network challenges today. But let's see if we can get through our conversation. Pastor, what are some misconceptions about fasting, and how should we approach fasting in a biblical way?
Okay, how should we approach fasting in a biblical? Well, Jesus again gives us insight about mm-hmm. how we ought to fast.
Yes.
Okay. When you come to the book of Matthew, Christ would then get to address the issue of fasting. So he first of all looks at what was a common practice that time, where people would want to really make it known that they are fasting. Their lips are dry. Okay. The look that they give you is sorrowful.
Yeah.
And you even want, what are you going through in life?
Yeah.
Have you just survived the tsunami or what?
Right.
Okay. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18, he then says, see, when you fast, go, take a bath, okay? Afterwards, apply some lotion. You don't need to announce to the public. Then, then he says, when you pray in secret, in that prayer, when he answers, he will not answer you in private, but it will come in the public domain.
Amen.
Okay? So sometimes we want to compete in our Christianity. So me, I fast two times and like in that particular story.
Mm-hmm.
No. If we have not yet learned the issue of humility, then we miss it. So Jesus Christ simply says, go in a private room. You get to pray about it. And God will definitely come through. So the biblical approach is that I don't need to announce to the whole world. I don't need to come up in the public and show that, hey, I'm going through bad times. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel, for instance, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 10, mm-hmm. Let's say verse 12 to verse 14, he gets to fast for 21 days. And the man is in this particular space
mm-hmm.
and is praying and fasting. And what we see is that at the end of the 21 days, God answers his prayer.
Yeah.
I think there are many lessons we can pick out from people that fasted. One good example I would give is Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Samuel, she doesn't have a child. And society then was that if you are a woman, already there was some stigma of some kind. Secondly, if you don't have a child, it was waste. And she's married to a good man. Mm-hmm. But the good man has taken a second wife.
Yeah.
And the second wife continually mocks her for being barren. Then this woman goes to the temple. And as she's kneeling there praying, the Bible says that only her lips were moving because of so much grief that she carried. So, then now, when the priest comes, he simply says, woman, even if you are drinking, you can drink. Mm. But how can you be drunk at 9 a.m.?
Hey.
You must at least be responsible.
Yeah.
Then she says, no, it is because of grief.
Yeah.
It is because of the burden I have. Then the servant of the Lord says, may the Lord grant your prayer. And I want to speak to all those that are listening to us, that may the Lord that answered Hannah also answer your prayers. Mm-hmm. We don't know what you are going through, yeah, but God is able to see. Absolutely. And so Hannah, she fasted, and we are told she was at the temple, and the Lord came through and answered that particular prayer. To me, that is a biblical approach that I must follow it in that way. And she kept on, because the Bible does not say she only prayed once. Every year, she would petition to God, and she cried to God. Beloved, look, the priest did not understand what she was going through. The priest thought she was just drunk. Sometimes we as human beings may not understand you. Your pastor may not understand you. Your elder may not understand you. We may say stuff about you. But the key is persistent in prayer always produces results.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Now, Pastor, you mentioned Daniel's 21-day fast, and sometimes we have these initiatives in our churches or in our prayer groups. Let's fast for a week. Let's fast for 3 days, 21 days. And for someone, that might feel a bit overwhelming. Can fasting still be effective, even if it's done in small, incremental, intentional ways? Like if I just fast for 12 hours or fast for a day, things like that, is that still effective?
God, when it comes to answering prayer, does not answer prayer because it is very long when we clamor it with nice words, oh God who dwells in the third heavens.
Yes.
A simple word of prayer of Peter, he simply says, Lord, save me. Mm. And Peter was saved.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it comes to fasting, it is not about how many weeks you are fasted. Mm-hmm. It's about how have I connected myself with God? It can still take a day, and a day is it enough.
Mm.
Okay? So that is the point that I want us to be able to appreciate. And now, when you look again at the fasting that you find, most of the times there was a challenge and the like. You see, sometimes our fasting, sorry to say this, becomes a little bit superficial. It's a program. It's a quarterly program that we need to. We even say, so what can we pray for? Like we are saying, we don't even know what we are praying for. Okay?
Yeah.
But look, when you're in trouble, you will not search for what to pray for. You will know what to pray for. Okay, so we must be intentional at the same time. It is also very good. And at the end of the day also, you see, you don't need to take yourself for 40 days and 40 nights. You are not competing with Jesus. He died for us on our cross, on the cross. Okay, so because others take it to the very extreme, to a point that people get ill. There are people that may be diabetic and everything. Understand that we are still living in a sinful world. Because others say, because I'm fasting, even if I've got ulcers, God will just answer my prayer. No?
Right.
God gives us a brain to function, and so we must also be able to respond to the physical laws. It's just that time is not with us, but do you know after the 40 days how Christ looked like and why he went that far? Okay, it's a story of another day, but the point is, God is faithful. A simple word of prayer, Lord, save me, God answers. So fasting can be done in small bits, and
right,
God is faithful to attend to our needs.
Beautiful. It's all about the sincerity.
Yeah.
Now, how does fasting sharpen our ability to recognize and to resist temptation? How does it do that?
You see, fasting is more like it opens up our eyes to see things that we cannot ordinarily get to see. Mm-hmm. Okay? You see, in the midst of danger, in the book of Chronicles, there's a challenge and the like, and a fast is called. And you see, the Bible says that they were worried to say, we are surrounded by enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord, the prophets, and so we come in the presence of God, we get to see more. So fasting gets to give us that particular, it's more like a vehicle that takes us a little bit further than what we can do on an ordinary day.
Right, right. No, that's beautiful. Sure. As we wrap up our conversation for today, Pastor, I saw the other day on social media, I saw someone make the statement that fasting is not an optional thing in the Christian life. And what this preacher was citing was Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, which says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites mm-hmm. do. It says when, not if. And he says, because of that use of the word when means it's not an optional thing. What would you say to that? Are we all supposed to fast? Is it an optional thing? Is it something that you do when there's an emergency and there's something urgent that you need to pray over? Is fasting a requirement in the Christian life?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, we must appreciate and learn from biblical characters.
All right.
Okay. We have Moses that gets to fast,
mm-hmm.
And we have got many Esther that gets to fast, and mm-hmm. the nations. Remember also Jonah when he preaches, and there's a threat that Nineveh will be destroyed. Even the heathens did get to fast because they knew, hey, we are in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Now, as we look at these particular issues concerning prayer and fasting, we must understand that at an individual level, there are things that I'm going through as an individual, and it's not a corporate level.
Okay.
Thus, me as an individual should take up the initiative to say, hey, I want to spend time with God. For example, God can answer my prayer anywhere where I will be. Mm-hmm. He can answer my prayer even when I'm in the bedroom. He can still answer my prayer when I go to the mountain. So why would one go to the mountain? Sometimes it's simply because, well, I want just to have my me time with God as long as I know I am safe enough. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the space that I think we need to look at mm-hmm. without really playing on the words, whether when or if,
mm-hmm.
as a Christian, what we can agree on is that there's space for fasting.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That is how there is space for fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is one of the things that I'll talk about. On the other side also, those that say they don't need to fast,
mm.
you don't want to get to a point where you feel like more like taking God as your cousin, for lack of a better word. Okay. Okay, so there are two extremes that we need to avoid, an extreme of taking things too far and an extreme of remaining too way behind.
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. My pastor, thank you so much for your time this morning. We have gone so much way over time, but I really appreciate you coming through and sharing some very, very interesting insights there about the subject of fasting and how it helps us to arm ourselves against temptation. And I look forward to our next conversation. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Beautiful conversation there with our pastor about the importance of fasting and its role in our lives, in our Christian walk, as we try to develop spiritual discipline. The pastor said, God is not your cousin, all right? God is not your cousin, so watch yourself. We'll be right back.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.